The book of Hebrews is a rich resource from God's encouraging word, so I invite you to join us with Dr. Don Wilton today. Now, the topic of today's message as we study in the book of Hebrews is how to enter heaven. We'll talk about that, pray about that in a few minutes, but we want you to know we'd love to pray with you right now. If you've got something on your heart, someone that's maybe a concern of yours, we've been praying for a lot of prodigals these days. Just know we'd love to stand with you in prayer. 866-899-WORD is our phone number. That's 866-899-9673. And if you're wondering what I mean about prodigals, they're friends that of ours that are far from God. And we would love to pray with you that God would draw them to Him even today. Again, 866-899-9673, or meet us online at theencouragingword.org. And now, the Friday edition with Dr. Don Wilton.
Please open your Bibles with me to Hebrews chapter 9. For those that are part of our church fellowship, you'll know that for the past several weeks, we've been studying in the book of Hebrews. Now, this is an amazing book, really. It's an amazing letter, Hebrews, the whole of Hebrews. And the word Hebrew applies to the Hebrew people, to our Jewish friends. I love our Jewish friends. I have great respect for them. Not the least of which, because it's right there in Jerusalem that the Bible... This is not about me saying this or anybody else, but the Bible tells us that the Lord Jesus is going to come. He's going to, when He comes back to this earth, He's going to land on the Mount of Olives, which overlooks the city of Jerusalem. I've been there many times. I take our people there every year. It's the same spot from which the Lord Jesus went up into heaven after He had risen from the dead, and then He met with over 500 people, and then He went back up to the Mount of Ascension on the Mount of Olives, and He ascended up into heaven. Remember, an angel of God came down and said, "Men of Galilee, don't worry. Why are you looking up? The same Jesus that went up into heaven is going to come back down again." And that's what Revelation chapter 19 is about. He's going to come back, and then when He comes back, which could be at any time, none of us know when it is, He's not going back up into heaven again. He will never go back up into heaven. When He comes back to Jerusalem, He's going to stay forever. Revelation chapter 20 makes that very, very clear. And Revelation chapter 21 gives us the details, unpacks all the details of Jesus coming from heaven. He comes and lands on the earth. He's going to march down the Mount of Olives and across over the Kidron Valley. He's going to go onto the Temple Mount, which today is controlled by the Muslims, one of the most disputed little pieces of land. It's the same spot where Abraham offered Isaac way back in the Old Testament. It's called Mount Moriah. That's the same spot, that golden dome that you see on television. It's built right over the spot where Abraham offered Isaac, where God demonstrated to us the importance about the Lord Jesus. He just wanted to see that Abraham would be obedient, but He had a better way, because God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not die, but will have eternal life. And Jesus is not going to have to build a new temple there, because He is the temple. He's going to reclaim His rightful spot. There's a lot of other details. He's going to march from there over toward the city of Haifa, modern day, right there where Elijah battled the prophets of Baal into the battlefields of Armageddon, where for the final time he's going to defeat Satan, Antichrist, and all the armies that would come against him. And then he's going to set up his reign in Jerusalem. And it's at that point that God is going to come out of heaven. He's going to come out of heaven. Why God? Remember, God is three. God Father, God Son, God Holy Spirit. If you go before the book of Genesis, we see God as one, even though he's always three. In the beginning, God. When you get to the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem, we see God as two. God became flesh. Now we see God Father and God Son. Jesus lived, he died, then he rose, and when he went up into heaven, we see God three, because he sends his Holy Spirit down, who's now with us right now. Then we get into the time of the tribulation, when Jesus comes in the clouds and all believers are taken. God three is taken out of the world, according to 2 Thessalonians. God withdraws his Spirit. Now we see God two again. We see Jesus seated at the right hand of the Father. At the end of the book of Revelation, heaven opens, and Jesus, God's Son, comes back to this earth. When he sets up his kingdom, God Father leaves what we know as heaven up there, and he comes down and he says, from now on in Revelation 21, I'm going to make my dwelling place among men. And his headquarters are going to be right there in Jerusalem. Any further questions as to why I love going to Jerusalem? And by the way, you don't need your American Express card for this one. You can leave home without it. You got to make sure your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And so when we come to the book of Hebrews, the things that we are learning about the Lord Jesus are very important. And we've discovered a lot of great truths about the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, these people, the Hebrews, they based everything they did on the works of the Old Covenant. Remember the Ten Commandments? Ten Commandments are very important. They're very vital for our living. But man proved that he, she could not meet God's standards of righteousness by means of towing the line when it came to works. You can try until the cows come home. You're never going to be able to satisfy God. You can come to church for the next 10 weeks without taking a break. You still cannot measure up to the righteousness and the holiness of God. We cannot do it, but God can, and he has done so through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I'm going to read to you in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 11. But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with hands, and that is not of this creation, Christ entered once for all into the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing our eternal redemption. That's how you enter into heaven. That's how you live with God forever. That's how your eternal redemption is secured. Not through the blood of the sacrificial system, which is non-eternal blood, but only through life blood, eternal blood, the giving of eternal life in order to receive eternal life. And only Jesus could have done that. He's the Son of God. And so you get into verse 13, for if the blood of goats and bulls and the sprinkling of defiled persons with the ashes of a heifer sanctify for the purification of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Therefore, Christ Jesus is the mediator of a new covenant, so that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, since a death has occurred that redeems them from the transgressions committed under the first covenant. May the Lord write that word upon our hearts. Now, there's an interesting word that we find used in this passage. It's the word enter. We've encountered that word before in the Bible, by the way. One of my favorite times when the word enter is used is when a gentleman by the name of Nicodemus came to the Lord Jesus. You'll find that in John's Gospel, chapter 3. And you'll remember, some of you may remember about Nicodemus. He was rather a sprightly chap, really. He was highly educated, very religious. This man knew theology. He was a very good man. I've got no doubt that Nicodemus would have been counted among those who were most excellent in his world. And yet Nicodemus came to Jesus, said to him, "Jesus, what must I do in order to inherit eternal life?" Let me paraphrase that for you. Nicodemus asked the same question that so many of us are asking. I've asked that question, and I know that there are many today who have asked that question. I want to try and answer that for you, because there is an answer. People everywhere want to know, what must I do in order to enter into heaven? Now, if you think about it, all of us have tried a lot of sometimes jolly good things. I certainly have. I was brought up in a preacher's home. You know, at least I would have thought God would have had consideration for the fact that my father is a wonderful pastor and a preacher. But I had to come to the point at which I recognized that just because you're born in a garage doesn't make you a motor car. Well, let me put that in Southern, in case some of you don't understand it. Just because you're born in a garage doesn't make you an automobile. Does that help somebody out there?
You're listening to Dr. Don Wilton, our teacher here on The Encouraging Word, and he'll be back with the completion of his message in just a moment. But we'd love to help you connect with Dr. Don outside of this one half-hour broadcast by getting connected on our website at theencouragingword.org. Perhaps you're on Facebook, so are we, sharing pictures and family and friends, prayer requests, resources that'll help you grow. Get connected with us on Facebook. Best way is to go to our website, theencouragingword.org. You'll see links to Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Following Dr. Don is a great joy, both personally and with regard to ministry-wise. You'll be blessed by keeping up with the ministry of The Encouraging Word. Again, all online at theencouragingword.org. And of course, Dr. Don would want me to remind you we're available for prayer 24 hours a day. The phone number is 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. 24 hours a day, we would love to connect with you, to pray with you and for you, connect with resources that will help you grow. Just know we're here for you at 866-899-9673. Now back to today's message with Dr. Don Wilton.
God doesn't have a family plan for salvation. I wonder if there's someone here today who actually believes that you're going to go to heaven, you're going to be with God forever, maybe because of a very wonderful mother that you have, or maybe because your father, or because of something that you've done. America's filled with good people. I'm telling you, I'm looking today, I know, at so many very, very good people. I love living in South Carolina especially. I think South Carolina's got the best people in the world. I move among a lot of very good people, wonderful people. How do we define goodness? You know, the things that we do for one another. But God tells us that not even our very best goodness is good enough for God. Now, I want you to think about that for a moment. You see, here in this particular context, these Hebrew people, we didn't live during this time, but I can probably attest to the fact that there were many very sincere, very good people. I mean, they did a lot of good things, and they believed that their good works was their ticket to heaven. And part of their good works was offering. They essentially, and I'm being very simplistic in this, their offerings revolved around two things, grain offerings and blood offerings. So they would have the temple. The high priest was in charge. He was the one who was appointed by man. We've discovered that. He was the mediator between an unrighteous person and a holy God. And he would go into the Holy of Holies. He would bless offerings. People would bring sacrifices. They would carry relics. They would kill sheep and goats, calves, we've just read about here in this passage. All kinds of animals. They would shed blood. They did it. They did it right according to their law, according to their custom. They would bring grain offerings. The grain, again, very simplistically, was symbolical of their bodies, of eating, of sustenance, of being able to sustain this body. There were two problems that they had. Number one, this body, because of our sin, decays, it declines. Just look at the person next to you if you want confirmation about that. Some are in a free fall. I mean, we battle with our bodies, don't we? And our bodies ultimately die, all of us. It's inevitable. Mary Kay can stand on her head. It's going to happen. I've often said if all of a sudden this roof were to disappear, we had a major thunderstorm, I think some people would get a fright looking at some people here. Because it would just wash away all the camouflage. Listen, folks, our bodies disintegrate. So the grain offering was insufficient, right? What about the blood offering? They offered sheep, goats, calves, bulls. They shed blood. They did it according to the law. But the problem was it was non-eternal. See, the blood of a goat is non-eternal blood. It's not everlasting blood. So here comes Jesus. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not die, but should have eternal life. So in this passage, here's what's happening. This passage is telling us how to enter heaven. First of all, gives us the reason why in verse 15. Let me read to you verse 15 again, just the first part. This answers the question why Jesus is the only way by which we can enter heaven, because he is the mediator of the new covenant, so that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance. So watch this. Why? Number one, because he's the only one who can mediate. That's why. How do you enter heaven? Through Jesus. Why? Because he's the only one that can mediate. Now, mediator is someone who stands between two parties. We understand that in a legal sense. Attorneys at law would understand that. Very often you call a mediator, sometimes we call them arbitrators, someone who stands between two different opinions. Well, here we've got God. God is holy, God is righteous, God is just. He's God. On this side, we've got the likes of me. If you look at me, I'm in a decaying body, and my blood is non-eternal. I'm a sinner. Bible says all of us have sinned. So how do I, in my grain offering, totally insufficient, in my blood offering, completely incomplete, be brought into fellowship with God, who is complete in every way, who is absolutely perfect? Christ. He's the mediator. Why Jesus? Number one, because he's the only one who can mediate. That's what the Bible says in verse 15. Number two, because he's the only one who can invite. He's the only one who can call me. He's the only one who can invite me to come into God's presence. Look here. It says in verse 15, therefore he is the mediator of a new covenant, so that those who are called, That's why Jesus is the only way. When Jesus died on the cross, he died so that all who would believe in his name would be invited. You are invited. You are given a personal invitation by the Lord Jesus Christ to come to the Father. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit invites you by convicting you of your sin, by convicting you of righteousness, and by convicting you of coming judgment. All right? Why Jesus? Because he's the only one who can mediate, and he's the only one who can invite, and because he's the only one who can promise. He's the only one who can promise. The Bible tells us right there in verse 15 that in order that we might receive the promise of eternal life. Now, promises are really things that we find hard to keep many times. Our world is full of promises. We're always saying, man, I promise you, I promise you. And you know, when we were kids, we'd look at each other and say, promise? Promise? You promise you'll do that? Daddy, you promise you're going to come? And then we get held up at work and we can't get back in time. We break promises, but God never does. His promise is absolute. And that's because Jesus Christ is his son. So here the passage tells us, how do you enter heaven? Through Jesus. Why? Why is Jesus the one? Well, because he's the only one who can mediate, and he's the only one who can invite you, and he's the only one who can promise you eternal life. So the question is, how does this happen? How did Jesus do this? This passage tells us how he did that. Number one, he did it by coming. He came. Look at verse 11. But when Christ appeared, when he came, how did he come? He came as a baby born in Bethlehem. He came as a suffering servant. He came as the one who gave us the example. He came as the one who went to the cross, who gave his life. He came as the one who rose from the dead by the power of God. He came as the one who appeared to over 500. He came as the one who ascended to be seated at the right hand of the Father, now having been made our high priest. He came. That's how this happened. Jesus came. I want you to just think about how significant the coming of Jesus really is, because we're talking about God. God so loved the world that Jesus came. How did this happen? Jesus did what was necessary in the economy of God's plan for our redemption. How did he do it? By coming. Number two, by going through. Bible tells us right there, also in verse 11 through verse 12, the Bible says that he went through the greater and more perfect tabernacle. We've talked about that. You can go back into some of the previous studies that we've done. Go back into chapter 4, my favorite verse, in chapter 4, verse 14, where the Bible says Jesus Christ is our high priest, having passed through the heavens. What did Jesus do? How did he do this? He passed through. He broke the barrier. He passed through heaven number one, the gravitational heaven. He passed through heaven number two, outer space, or the stellar heaven. He passed through number three, the floorboards of the galactic experience of God's grace, and he approached and went right into the place where you and I can never go. I want you to think about this. How did Jesus accomplish this? Well, he came. Number two, he went through. He broke all the barriers, all the things that restricted our access to a holy and a righteous God. And number three, it's Jesus Christ. How did he do it? By giving all. By giving all. That's what verse 13 and 14 tells us. How much more will the blood of Christ be all that's necessary? Here were these people. They did a lot. By the way, I'm surrounded by a lot of people who do a lot. Let's not stop doing a lot for the Lord. I'm so grateful to be part of a church where we're doing a lot. I like to think of the outstretched arms of Jesus that embrace the people of God. What we are in the heart of God is even far more than who we are concerning the people of God. And the deeper we are into the heart of God, the greater the embrace of the people of God. Now, folks, I want you to listen to this. This is what happened here. This is what this is all about. This is what God's talking about. And the bottom line is he's saying, you want to go to heaven? You want to go to heaven? You want to enter heaven? Here's how you do it. You do it through Jesus. You give your life to Christ. You confess your sin to him. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says that if you're willing to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you will enter heaven. I want to run that by again. If I am willing to confess that Jesus Christ alone is Lord, and I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, then I have been given God's invitation and his promise that I am going to enter heaven. Well, I tell you, isn't that great? Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me and that thou would bidst me. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ would have shed his blood, given his life, his eternal life for me so that I might have eternal life? That's for every single one. Are you ready to give your life to Christ?
What a powerful message from Dr. Wilton and a powerful challenge to give our life to Christ. Dr. Don will be back in just a moment, but he wants us to remind you that in this presentation, there's also the options and the desire on our part for a conversation, to pray with you and for you. The phone number is 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. We would love to speak with you, pray with you, connect with resources. Right now, I just want to connect you back to our pastor, Dr. Don Wilton.
Are you ready to give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ? Why don't you pray this prayer with me right now? Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner, and I know that Jesus died for me on the cross. Today, I repent of my sin, and by faith, I receive you into my heart. In Jesus' name. My friend, I welcome you today into the family of God. This is exciting news.
The phone number Dr. Don's referring to is the way to connect with us 24 hours a day. 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. We'd love to pray with you and for you. And you just need to know you have a 2 a.m. friend. Anytime. That's day or night. 866-899-9673. Or meet us online at theencouragingword.org.